is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, text number 35, given by Srila Arunda Srupdas on August 8, 1991, in Philadelphia.
Haunted by a ghost. He laughs and very loudly chants about the qualities of the Lord. Sometimes he sits to perform meditation, and he offers respects to every living entity, considering him a devotee of the Lord. Constantly breathing very heavily, he becomes careless of social etiquette and loudly chants like a madman, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O my Lord, O Master of the Universe. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When one chants the holy name of the Lord in ecstasy, not caring for outward social conventions, it is to be understood that he is Atmamati. In other words, his consciousness is turned toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is continuing a description of ecstatic symptoms. So yesterday I said I would address the question asked by Radhika Ramana. How do we tell actual symptoms of ecstasy from imitation or sentimental manifestations? So Prabhupada addresses this question, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 24. The text says, certainly that heart is steel-framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hair stand on end. So, in the purport here, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So with the process of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. It should be seen one gradually advances. Devotional service goes up, sense gratification goes down. You can do a chart, you know, just like they do in a hospital with your temperature. Let's see. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands and the legs, and so on, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind. So we're talking here still about vidhi, but now in relation to the mind. The mind is also considered a sense. You know, the senses are divided into two classes, those that act on the world and those that receive impressions. The acting senses are karmendriya, and the receptive senses, jnanendriya. The mind is also considered the 11th sense, and it falls into both categories. So now we're talking about the mind. It says the mind is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. Heart, mind, same thing, synonyms. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of hairs in the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occur before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, or love of God. So these symptoms are mentioned, described further. If the reaction does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. That is to say, the opinion of Jiva Goswami. In the beginning of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and the standing of the hair on end. The bhava stage is manifested by 8 transcendental symptoms, namely inertness, perspiration, standing of the hairs on end, failing in the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally trance. The Nectar of Devotion, a summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains those symptoms and vividly describes other transcendental developments, both in steady and accelerating manifestations. So these symptoms, the physical consequences of ecstasy, are called anubhava. Bhava is ecstasy, so anubhava. So these 8, they're called the 8 natural transformations, astha sattvika adhikara. And so they're listed here as the symptom. This inertness, like being stopped as though dumb. Profuse perspiration. Hairopilations, the standing of the hair on the end, and goosebumps erupting from the skin. All the skin pores that stand up. The voice falters, becomes choked. The limbs sometimes uncontrollably tremble. The body becomes completely drained of color, becomes very pale. Crying, tears in the eye, trance. So these are mentioned various places. Roman Chikamba Shu Tarangavati. Those things are there. So these are physical symptoms of bhava. There are other symptoms too. There's called vyabhichari bhava, 33 other kinds of mental and physical symptoms. But these 8 are first displayed anyway in the bhava stage. But here's the problem. Prabhupada now introduces the difficulty. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very critically discussed all these bhava displays in connection with some unscrupulous neophytes imitating the above symptoms for cheap appreciation. Not only Vishwanath Chakravarti, but also Srila Rupa Goswami treated them very critically. Critically means they use their discrimination. Because that is the problem, is that these symptoms can be fate. As you said, for some cheap appreciation or adoration. It's seen in India that this happens. He goes on, sometimes all the above 8 symptoms of ecstasy, all of them, are imitated by the mundane devotees, Prakrita Sahajiyas. But the pseudo-symptoms are at once detected. When one sees the pseudo-devotee addicted to so many forbidden things. Even though decorated with the signs of a devotee, a person addicted to smoking, drinking, or illegitimate sex with women cannot have all the above-mentioned ecstatic symptoms. But it is seen that sometimes these symptoms are willfully imitated, and for this reason, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti accuses the imitators of being stone-hearted men. They are sometimes even affected by the reflection of such transcendental symptoms. Yet, if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. What this means, the reflection of such transcendental symptoms is sometimes in the association of an advanced devotee. Someone will feel sometimes ecstasy and these symptoms. Abhasa, this is like a reflection of ecstasy, owing to association of genuine devotees. So one can feel these symptoms, even if one is not on that proper platform because of association. But still, if one does not give up forbidden habits, the Prabhupada says, hopeless cases. What may happen is that somebody, because of association, may feel some ecstasy, immediately think, oh, now I'm an advanced devotee. Even though I'm breaking all the principles, Krishna must have made some special arrangement for me because I'm so wonderful, and embark on a career as a sahajiya. This would actually, we've seen this happen a number of times in our experience. So this is the one thing. One problem with these astasattvika vikara is that they can be imitated. Now there's another factor about them. And that factor is now going to be explained, that people who are actually on the ecstatic platform or the advanced devotees, they may not show these symptoms. When Lord Chaitanya met Srila Ramananda Roy of Kavar on the bank of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms. When he saw Ramananda Roy, he began to manifest these transformations. You can read about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who are attendants of the Roy, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible even in the body of the first-class devotee for certain circumstantial reasons. But that's the other thing. So you can't just go by that. Now we get the criteria, the real criteria. Therefore, real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires, kshanti, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, of yaratakalatvam, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, namagane sadaruchi, attraction for living in the land of the Lord, prithistad vasanti stale, complete detachment from material happiness, virakti, and pridelessness, mana shunyata. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or mundane devotee. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, etc., as mentioned above. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious. So much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling, perspiration, or unconsciousness, etc., is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with the pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return path back home, back to Godhead, will depend upon the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. The return path. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. These are the symptoms that should be there. But the problem is, these exterior symptoms of ecstasy, they can be imitated by those who are not advanced, or they can be the shadow attachment by association. And on the other side, those who are actually in an advanced platform for various reasons do not let these ecstatic symptoms, they can suppress them from being manifested due to various circumstances. So, what do we judge by? And Prabhupada gives six other symptoms. Now I want to discuss those that we have to look at. These come from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Jiva Rupa Goswami has given these. Actually, there are nine. Prabhupada quotes six. But there are nine characteristics of one who has developed bhava. Aside from whatever physical display there may be, the first was mentioned, Shanti. Prabhupada here in this Bhagavatam translated as cessation of material desires. Here he translated it as forgiveness. What it means is it means forbearance, tolerance, enduring anything, patience, like that. There'll be examples of each of these qualities. So Shantir, and being so situated you can put up with anything without being disturbed. That's what it means. Then Avyakta Kalatvam, being free from wasting time. This you'll see. Somebody who's actually advanced, they'll be loath to spend 1 second not engaged in Krishna service. Viraktihi means detachment. Mana shunyata, absence. Shunyata, being devoid of mana, false prestige, pride. Ashabandha, this one is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but it's here. Great hope. Samutkanta, eagerness. Then Namagane, Sadaruchi, always eager. Having a taste, a ruchi, a taste for chanting the holy name. Then another one, ashakti tat gun atyane, attachment to descriptions of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Another symptom. And finally, the ninth, priti tat vasati stale, an affection for those places in which the Lord resides, that is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. But these are all called anubhava, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They are visible in a person in whose heart the seed of love of God has begun to fructify. This verse is Majjalila chapter 23, text 18 and 19. Which is quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So these anubhava, nine symptoms forgiveness or forbearance, concern that time should not be wasted, detachment, absence of false prestige, hope, eagerness, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord, attachment to description of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and affection for those places where the Lord resides. So when these things are there, then you know for sure that has to be seen. So now, what's very nice is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has gone through, after giving this verse, this is of course based on Lord Chaitanya's instructions here to Sanatana Goswami. So now Krishnadas Kaviraj continues giving examples from the scriptures of each of these nine characteristics. So in discussing Shanti, he says, if love for Krishna in a seedling state has fructified in one's heart, one is not agitated by material things. So that's the definition of Krishanti. That's K-S-H, Krishanti. Not Shanti, but Krishanti. Forbearance. That is to say, material things do not disturb. You're undisturbed in all conditions. Not being agitated by material things. Prabhupada translates it as forgiveness. That's also there. Somebody agitates you, you immediately forgive them. You have no... you don't become agitated yourself, you know. You just immediately forbear. And then he quotes an instance of this. And the instance is a verse spoken by Maharaj Parikshit, sitting on the bank of the Ganges and waiting to be bitten by this snake bird, summoned by the curse of that Brahmin boy, Sringi. So here he's waiting, this creature. You've seen the picture of this snake bird. It's like a snake with bat wings. Fire coming out of its mouth. You know. He's going to come and bite him. This is what Maharaj Parikshit says. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. So that's Kshanti. He's not disturbed by anything disturbing. As far as he's concerned, he's already dead. Let the Ganges take me. Let the bird come, whatever it is, maybe just keep on chanting. That's all. That's the first symptom that we see of Baba. Then, avyatta karatvam, not a moment should be lost, Lord Chaitanya says. Every moment should be utilized for Krishna or connected with him. And then the verse, that describes this, it's from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it doesn't say who's speaking. With their words, they offered prayers to the Lord. With their minds, they always remembered the Lord. With their bodies, they offered obeisances to the Lord. Despite all these activities, they are still not satisfied. That is the nature of pure devotee. Shedding tears from their eyes, they dedicate their whole lives to the Lord's service. So there is compulsion to always be engaged in Krishna service as much as possible and at every minute. So much so that they're not satisfied, that even though I'm trying in so many ways to serve Krishna at every minute, still I feel I should be serving more, 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 more. That's avyakta kalatvam. Then, third, virakti, which is detachment, another characteristic. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in the material field, people are interested in material enjoyment, mystic power, and sense gratification, mukti mukti indriyata. However, these things do not appeal to a devotee at all. So from Bhagavatam, this verse describes this virakti. King Bharata was very eager to attain the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is called Uttama Shloka, because poems and prayers are offered to him for his favor. In his youth, King Bharata gave up his attractive wife and children, as well as his beloved friends and opulent kingdom, just as one gives up stool after passing. That's heavy. Virakti. Complete detachment from everything material. Another thing. Next, mana shunyata. Pridelessness. Although a pure devotee's standard is above all, he still considers himself to be in the lowest stage of life. And now, there's a quotation from Padma Purana, telling how this quality was seen in Bharat Maharaj. It says that Bharat Maharaj always carried affection for Krishna within his heart, Rati. Same thing as Bhava, Rati. Although Bharat Maharaj was the crown jewel of kings, he was still wandering about and begging alms in the city of his enemies. He was even offering respects to chandals, low-class men who eat dogs. He offered them respect because he considered, I'm so fallen. These people are better devotees than me. This is how he was feeling. So this is another characteristic. One, mana shunyata. There's no prestige at all. Sense of prestige, sense of being utterly worthless, and seeing everyone else as a more advanced devotee than I am. Even though it's very advanced, this is the characteristic of advanced person. Then, asha bandha, hope, great hope. What is this great hope is described? A fully surrendered devotee always hopes that Lord Krishna will be kind to him. This hope is very firm in him. So this condition toward Krishna of great hope. Because a devotee, this is a very important quality because many times I've run across devotees who do not understand how you can be humble without being depressed. Or it's a fact. They can't distinguish between humility and low self-esteem. Because here, if I'm thinking I'm ready to offer obeisances to chandala because I think they're better devotees than I am, then isn't that a case of low self-esteem? But there's no depression because of this asha bandha. Here it's described, Oh my Lord, I do not have any love for you, nor am I qualified for discharging devotional service by chanting and hearing, nor do I possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava, knowledge or pious activities, nor do I belong to a very high caste family. On the whole, I do not possess anything. Still, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart. That hope is always giving me pain. This is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the condition of a devotee. He doesn't ever think for, he's always thinking of Krishna, thinking of himself as most fallen, but also conscious that Krishna is so merciful to the fallen that I can be delivered by him. Yeah.
The training is this hope is getting me pain.
This hope is getting me pain. He says, but my understanding of that, this hope is giving me pain. And like I feel it, like that hope is like the pain of my feeling the need for Krishna's mercy. So it's like that. Because when you're hoping for something very bad, just think of it, you know. When you want something, you're hoping something's going to happen very bad. You know, that's like a painful condition. Doesn't have that quality. That there's something you're lacking, there's something you want, which is, in this case, Krishna's mercy. So then it's like an agitation. You're like you want a computer very badly, you're hoping you're going to get it. Yeah, I hope it's like a pain. That's my understanding. So that great hope is there. So the devotee is not at all depressed. So then, samutkanta means eagerness. Another symptom. This eagerness is chiefly characterized by an ardent desire to associate with the Lord. That's what we're eager for. Ardent desire to associate with the Lord. And this verse is from Krishna Karnamrita. Radharani is speaking. O Krishna, O flute player, the sweetness of your early age is wonderful within these three worlds. You know my unsteadiness, and I know yours. No one else knows about this. I want to see your beautiful, attractive face somewhere in a solitary place. But how can this be accomplished? That's the eagerness. Here we see the eagerness of Radharani to meet with Krishna. She's saying, you know my weakness for you, and I know your weakness for me. We're the only ones that are conscious of this. So I'm very eager to have your association, so I can just see you with my eyes, with my full contempt. I don't know how this is going to come about. So this eagerness to associate with Krishna. Another sentence. The Namagane Sadaruchi, having a great relish for chanting the holy name. It says, due to having great relish for the holy name, one is inclined to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly. So again, a quotation from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. O Govinda, this youthful girl named Radhika is today constantly pouring forth tears like nectar falling from flowers. She is also singing your holy name in a sweet voice. Then, asakti tat gunat yane. At this stage of bhava, a devotee has awakened the tendency to chant and describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He has attachment for this process. The text, this is from Bilvamangala Thakur, Krishna Karnamrita. This is one of the most extraordinary verses ever written. It doesn't really come across in English. In English, O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body. The soft smile of his face, which is like the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. But this verse shows the tendency to always chant the glories of the Lord on and on and on. The verse is like this: Maduram Maduram Vatu Asya Vibho. Maduram means sweet. Madhu is honey. So Maduram means honey like or sweet. Maduram Maduram Vatu Asya Vibho. Maduram Maduram Varanam Maduram. Marugandhi Mridu Smittam Eta Raho Maduram Maduram. Maruram, maruram. So, first line, maruram maruram vapu asya vibhor. The vapu, the form, the body of the Lord. Maruram maruram, sweet, sweet. Maruram maruram varanam maruram. And his varanam, his face, his countenance. Three mararams. First one, Vapu, is mararam mararam. But when we come to his face, it's mararam mararam. Vadanam mararam. Sweeter still. Mararam mararam mararam. And then, Madhugandhi, sweet scented, or scented like honey. Mridusmitam, etat, his sweet smile. Aho, oh. Mararam 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 mararam. Or even sweeter. This is an extraordinary verse. Now read it once. Mararam mararam. You can just, the Sanskrit's easy, huh? Mararam mararam vapu asya vibhor. Vibhu is the Lord, asya vibhor. Mararam mararam varanam is countenance. Mararam. Marugandhi. Mridu smitam etaraho maruram 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 maruram. So you go from his body to his face to his smile. That's what it means to always be addicted to chanting the qualities of the Lord. Like that maruram 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 maruram, you can't stop. Can't stop himself. Okay. Then finally, last one mentioned here, always desiring to reside in a place where Krishna's pastimes are performed. Priti tad vasati stare, affection for the places of Krishna's pastimes, to reside there. A devotee absorbed in ecstatic emotion for Krishna always resides in a place where Krishna's pastimes were performed. And another verse, O Lord Pundarikaksha, that's Krishna, lotus eyes. O Lord Pundarikaksha, while chanting your holy name with tears in my eyes, when shall I dance in ecstasy on the bank of the Jumna? So these places where the Lord reside and performed his pastimes, that's where a devotee wants to live. So these nine are the actual symptoms that we should look for in persons who have developed bhava. These are more to be discerned than the presence or absence of other qualities. And so that's what Prabhupada has told us. So if you want to read this, I said this is Madhya Lila chapter 23. First chapter in volume 9 of Madhya Lila. It goes on to describe some more very interesting things. So that's enough for this morning. Do we have any questions?
Madhya Lila, what can
I Volume 9 is chapter 23. The verse we started with was 18 and 19. Shantira Vyatakala Tvam, which is originally from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So those are called anubhava. The effects of bhava, manifest effects of bhava. There's different categories we have to learn. Bhava, vibhava, the causes of ecstasy are called vibhava. Krishna's flute, his smile, these are vibhava. Anubhava, the effects of ecstasy. Stayi bhava, the steady rasa. Vyabhachari bhava, the transitory various symptoms. All these things have been analyzed, described by the Goswamis. You had your hand up first?
Yeah. In this description of the rasa dandan for the Bhattalasam Jasindu, the Goswami says, I don't have the mystic power of Vaishnava. What is the mystic power of Vaishnava?
Interesting, huh? You don't have it, huh? Let me see what the verse I have problem with, what to do with translating here. Vaishnavas do have mystic power. Yeah, I do not have the yoga, the mystic yoga power, or the knowledge, or the pious activities befitting a Vaishnava. For these things, one becomes an advanced devotee, mystic power, knowledge, pious activities all become manifest. So whatever they may be. Usually, devotees, even if they're capable of mystic, you know, they're not showmen. Somebody like Prabhupada, you know, it doesn't help people advance back to Godhead if you, you know, do tricks. Like some gurus have some mystic power, they use their tricks. But it's not a help. Yes?
What you described as one of the symptoms of Baba, that one becomes indifferent. That's what it means.
Krishanti, huh?
And then in the case of Baba Maharaj, like, give his wife, his wife, and his king.
Oh, Virati, yeah.
That's true, and then it became especially deep.
Yeah, gotta be careful. Yeah. If you read that episode, you could see that his attachment to the deer was a very pious thing. But still, it was a little attachment. It wasn't like a big lusty desire or anything, was it? So, you have to be careful. Avoid baby deer. Cute little furry animals. No pets, snakes, turtles, hamsters.
What?
If I see any of the grown-ups out there playing with that rabbit, I'll know they're contaminated. You know, anyone else? Other questions? Yes? Any Manjari? That what?
The
desire to live in a holy place?
Yeah, because the devotee is always living in Vrindavan.
No. The last trick of Maya, so far as I've ever heard Prabhupada, is the desire to become God, or the desire to enter into the Brahma Jyoti. So that even a devotee who is himself a place of pilgrimage, a pure devotee is sometimes described as a self a place of pilgrimage because wherever he is, the Lord's abode is there and he's always living in there. But he's desiring always to live in Vrindavan. He doesn't ever want to leave Vrindavan. Even if, you know, on the map he's in Nebraska or some other godforsaken place. I've never seen this. This is not the desire, the eager desire to be where the Lord performed his pastimes, to live in the Lord temple, is I've never seen described as a snare of Maya. Okay? You can show me that one.